What do Obama, Biden, and Trump all have in common? They attended private schools chosen by their parents. On average, taxpayers spend $15,424 per student on K-12 public education. The American Federation for Children believes that all families, especially lower-income families, should have the right to use those tax dollars to give their child the best education environment that meets their needs, whether that's a public, private, home, or virtual education. Go to fundmychildnow.com and sign the petition there if you agree.
The world is a complicated place. You need someone to expose the political fakers, fixers, and takers, and to cut through the mindless chatter and misdirection to help you make sense of it all. That person is Dan Proft, and this is The Dan Proft Show.
Welcome to The Dan Proft Show. I'm John Hinderacher from Powerline, filling in for Dan tonight. And we are joined now by Patrick Basham, founding director of the Democracy Institute, a Washington and London-based independent research organization. Patrick, thanks for being on the program.
Oh, my great pleasure, John. Thank you for having me.
You've got a piece at the Epoch Times, and the headline is "Overwhelming Evidence of Outcome-Altering Voting Irregularities." And, you know, we're living in this just bizarre moment, Patrick, when everybody knows that there was a lot of funky stuff going on in this election, but we're not supposed to talk about it. You know, YouTube has announced they're banning any video that questions, you know, anything about this election. Facebook is going around trying to stamp out any references to voter fraud. What do you make of that?
It's really quite surreal. I mean, in terms of a personal, professional reaction, I feel like, you know, I went to bed in America and woke up in the Soviet Union, you know? I mean, freedom of speech has been under siege, I would say, for some time, but now, I mean, this is really, really scary stuff. And there's two things that come to mind, too, in terms of what big tech seems to be doing. You know, one is that if they... I think it reflects the fact that they know that a lot of fraud happened, and they do not want people to talk about it, at least not yet. I mean, I think if and when Biden is inaugurated, after that, I think they'll be all for free speech and all for, you know, public discourse on this important issue, so that next time we get it right. The important things, we don't get it right this time, because their guy needs to become, you know, the next president. The other thing is, and I say this also about the Democrats in general, as well as big tech, is the Biden campaign assures us, as big tech does, that there was no fraud, and if there was fraud, it didn't make any difference. Okay, so why then would they want the fullest, most comprehensive, most detailed examination to confirm that? Because right now, the media polls tell us that at least half of the country thinks the election was stolen from Trump. That guarantees that Biden will have 4 years along the lines that Trump did, you know, where there's this cloud over him, and at least half the country thinks he's an illegitimate president. They know there was no fraud and the election wasn't stolen, so let's all get together, all wrap our arms around this, and prove conclusively that they're right, and then the whole country, half the country will say, well, we're disappointed our guy lost, but at least it was fair and square, and the other half of the country will be thrilled that Biden, well, not, no one's thrilled Biden's president, but they will at least be relieved that Trump isn't president anymore. And so it just seems to me that it speaks volumes. The fact they don't want us to speak about this stuff speaks volumes to how insecure they are about the actual situation on the ground.
In your piece in the Epoch Times, you go through, you don't itemize all the evidence by any means of significant voter fraud in this election, but you walk through quite a bit of it on kind of a state-by-state basis. Let's just do that. You know, you do this in alphabetical order. Let's just start with Arizona.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I looked at the respective hearings and the lawsuits and all of this and tried to highlight some of the things that I think really stand out. We have to remember that in Arizona, Joe Biden's lead is about 10,500 votes, according to the quote-unquote official count. So it doesn't take much to change that, should there be either illegal ballots or fraud or whatever it might be. And one of the witnesses at the state legislative hearing, you know, it's a formal hearing, one of the sworn witnesses, and we have to remember, these witnesses submit affidavits or appear as witnesses in public, sworn testimony under penalty of perjury, Right? I mean, this is very serious. These are ordinary people in the main, some of them Democrats, taking a very risky, courageous step, very risky step for them personally and professionally, with no upside, really no upside at all. So one witness at the hearing testified to multiple trucks of ballots arriving at the count, or the building where the count had taken place, for 10 days after the election. And she kept checking with her supervisors as to why this was happening and never got an answer. And she said, well, how long is this going to go on for? And they said, we don't know. I mean, how can an election in 2020 in America, in a sophisticated state such as Arizona, have this sort of irregularity after the election is supposedly over, right? It's amazing. The court actually ordered that they do statistically significant samples of mail-in ballots to see whether there were matches and see whether there was any reason to go forward with larger samples, larger audits. And they found that 11% of this small but statistically significant sample of accepted ballots should not have been accepted. They, for one reason or another, did not match. 11%. Now, your listeners may think, well, 11% is not nothing, but, I mean, it's not everything, is it? Well, actually, in Arizona, it was everything, because that percentage, if you extrapolate that out, which you can because it's a significant enough sample, that's 30 times more illegal ballots than Biden's lead of 10,500 votes. Right?
Let me just stop you there for a second, Patrick, yep. Because, you know, as long as there's been such a thing as absentee or mail-in voting, everybody has agreed, Democrats, Republicans, it's not a partisan thing. Everybody has agreed that mail-in votes have a significantly greater potential for fraud than voting mm-hmm. in person. That's never been questioned. And to me, the number one fact about this election is that there was all this encouragement. Don't show up at the polls, vote by mail. And I think over 100 million ballots came in by mail, and I don't think anyone has any idea how many of those were in fact fraudulent.
No. I mean, there are some very bright people doing some very heavy lifting in an analytical and data-driven sense who are attempting to narrow it down, right? I was just listening this morning to a podcast where there are some very smart people in Switzerland who don't have a dog in this fight, but have been looking at the data in Pennsylvania in terms of absentee and mail-in ballots, where they came from. And they think that at this point, at least 25% to 30% need to be revisited of the total. I mean, we're talking about several hundred thousand, a few hundred thousand votes by their estimate, at least need to be looked at. And are almost certainly, they are suspect now, and they're almost certainly illegal. Right? I mean, this is a very serious issue. And one of the ironies, I mean, looping back to your introduction and our discussion about big tech and the media censorship, I think it was 2012 when the New York Times had a major piece in which they interviewed all of the experts in this area, and they all said, mail-in ballots, I mean, that's a nightmare waiting to happen, right? It used to be the liberals and the Democrats who worried about this stuff because, for various reasons, Republicans tended to dominate absentee voting. And that obviously has changed by accident and very much by design. And suddenly, all of those concerns, the concerns that former President Carter, in his report more than a decade ago, raised about voter fraud and the potential for mail-in ballots and absentee ballots to be especially problematic. All of that stuff that we had learned, we were educated by our betters to be on the lookout for, none of that is to be worried about now, because I assume because the election has quote-unquote gone the right way, the correct way. And so those concerns are not just immaterial and irrelevant, but they're actually conspiratorial. You're not only a confused person for raising these concerns. You're actually a bad person because you have ulterior bad motives. You must be, because you simply are not parroting, what our betters have told us is the talking point of the day, which is Biden won big and he won fair and square, and everyone who disagrees, has some ill motive for arguing against that.
Patrick, we've got about a minute and a half before the break. Let's move on to Georgia. Georgia has been very much in the news lately. Well, what's the evidence on voter fraud there?
Well, the most The visual evidence, which your listeners hopefully have seen, is what happened on election night in Atlanta at the major count center, where the at about 10:30 in the evening, the Republican poll watchers were told the counting stopped, you can go home, off you go. And then around 11, four poll workers stayed with a supervisor, and they lifted the skirts or the curtains on the tables in the room, pulled out a few suitcases. They turned out to be full of boxes of ballots, and they started counting again, and the tens of thousands of ballots were counted. And we see this massive dump of ballots almost exclusively for Joe Biden at the conclusion of that period. I mean, it's just absolutely staggering. And what we know, Biden has a lead of only 12,670 votes. We know that over 66,000 teenagers, underage teenagers, voted.
We're up against a hard break, Patrick, so we got to leave it there for the moment. But we're going to come back with more with Patrick Basham after these messages.
Sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and the Dan Proft Show.
We are back now with Patrick Basham, and we're talking about the 2020 presidential election and whether, contrary to what people keep telling us, there was in fact a lot of fraud, a lot of irregularity in that election. Patrick, we've been talking about a couple of states. Let's move on to Michigan. And the place where I want to start here is I believe Michigan was one of several states, three or four at least, where in the middle of the night, after counting supposedly had been suspended for a while, all of a sudden there is a dump of, you know, maybe 100,000, 150,000, something like that, ballots all of a sudden being tabulated kind of simultaneously with an absurd percentage, 99.2 or something, for Joe Biden. Now, am I right about that? Is that something that happened in Michigan and other states?
Oh, yes. Michigan and across these swing states, there are, in each state, there's at least one example, one confirmed example of these ridiculously high volume of ballots that came in the middle of the night for Joe Biden. And what was I saying? That came in. And the ratio is incredible. They are 95, 99, some cases 100% for Joe Biden. I mean, in Michigan, for example, there are three witnesses who testified at the state Senate hearing on the 2nd of December. And they all attested that on the morning after the election, about 4:30 a.m., a truck arrives at the rear of their polling station basement. And there were garbage cans in the truck. And there were about 100,000 ballots in those garbage cans. And guess which candidate got most of those votes, right? I mean, this stuff, you literally, you know, you cannot make it up. And you have this situation where, and this happened in more than one state, where these huge piles of ballots were found, quote-unquote absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. And these are all, there's two things to note about them. One is they are perfectly pristine. And why that's important is that a mail-in ballot, you have to sign it and you have to fold it so it's creased, put it back in an envelope, sign it, send it back. All to say, when it comes back to the count, it is not pristine with the best will in the world. Secondly, many of them were only filled out for the presidential election, not down ballot. Now, sure, there are people who don't vote down ballot, but to get tens, hundreds, thousands of votes in the same pile that are all filled out perfectly, but only for one candidate in one race, pristine, I mean, it defies logic, plausibility, that this kind of large dumping of ballots, there wasn't some kind of coordinated effort to change the numbers.
One thing I'm not clear on, I'm not sure if you know the answer to this question, Patrick, but when we see these big dumps in the middle of the night, is that a truck coming in with 100,000, you know, physical paper ballots and garbage cans? Is that somebody going on a computer and just kind of hitting the button and saying, you know, 90,000 votes for Joe Biden? I mean, how Do we know exactly what's behind those dumps?
In terms of this election, it appears to be all of the above. We have witnesses on trucks. We have witnesses on vans where they say it looked like a drug deal, the way that the ballots were coming in. We have the video evidence of the ballots in the suitcases under the table. And we also have someone actually from Dominion Voting Systems, which is the machinery in a number of these states, a number of these cities in question, is actually someone who is contracted by them in Michigan. She testified that the batches of ballots that came into where she was counting, they would scan them 8 to 10 times, the same ballot, right? You do that for an hour, that's a lot of extra ballots, that's a lot of extra votes. You times that by however many, was necessary, right? It's a variety of techniques. And, of course, you do this with mainly absentee and mail-in ballots. And it's very clever because this is how they get mixed in to the batch, to the pool of votes almost right away. So then, even if you know there's a problem, how do you find those ballots? How do you only get rid of those ballots? This is all part of the chess match that was played by those wanting to commit these acts, so that even if people knew there was something up and this thing didn't smell right, it's very difficult to prove it, and especially to prove the exact precise number of illegal or fraudulent votes.
Yeah, I think one of the big problems here is that the very same lax procedures that allow the fraudulent voting in the first place also make it very difficult to go back after the fact and identify the fraudulent ballots.
This is right. This is why, whether it's Trump campaign lawsuits or I think probably this Texas case before the Supreme Court, is that they're not saying, in either case, they're not saying, although we think there were this many fraudulent ballots, we want you to take that number out. They're saying that what it means is that it means the election cannot be certified because we know the vote is not correct. So the court needs to not pick a winner, but merely rule that the winner as declared cannot be confirmed, and therefore we need to sort of void that and move it on to another body that actually has the constitutional authority to pick the winner, in effect, because you cannot. If you can prove to a down to a single ballot that X number were illegal and or fraudulent, it's still impossible to say so. Therefore, take off so many votes because you cannot find those precise ballots, not in the quantities that you identified as being invalid.
We've got about 2 minutes left, Patrick, and I want to talk a little bit about Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's been one of the states that's got a lot of attention. What do we know about irregularities in that state?
Well, the Trump team, they maintain that there are almost 850,000 votes that were entered with no observation. Now, that doesn't mean that every single one of those was illegal or fraudulent, but what it does mean is that if you don't have observers watching, then it's a legal ballot because it breaks the rules. And that is, many, many, many times Biden's lead. And then, of course, we have this whistleblower, the gentleman, the truck driver, who drove the truck from Long Island, New York, to Lancaster, Pennsylvania, with a couple hundred thousand ballots that disappeared along with his trailer. And a lot of us are wondering, why did a couple hundred thousand completed ballots start in Long Island, headed for Pennsylvania? And if there was a good reason, where are they now and where's the trailer that they came in? One hopes that this sort of thing is being investigated, but these numbers are such, and the credibility of the witnesses and the whistleblowers are such, surely in the United States of America in 2020, we were told this election was the most important in our history, and therefore perhaps in the entire history of the world. We can hit the pause button and find out what happened and what it means for the eventual outcome.
Patrick Basham, thank you very much for being with us, and we are going to go to some commercials and be back after these messages. And you'll have to deal with pressure.
political fakers, fixers, and takers. He's Dan Proft, and this is The Dan Proft Show.